Welcome to Hearts to Believe. So good to have you join with us. Today, Jim Barba will be continuing in his series from Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 12 with a message you will want to hear called Gospel Swindlers. Lord, bless your word, we pray, and strengthen us through it. Receive praise, honor, and all the glory we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 12. Paul writes, "I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed, as we have said before. And so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." We return once again in our pursuit of understanding what faith is and what faith should appropriately be directed at the Lord Jesus Christ, Him who is altogether lovely. Paul began his letter to the Galatians, the first five verses, and the way he began it is rich in theological truth, but it could have been a springboard for him to lay down rock-solid authority and move in a number of directions. If we had come and were reading Galatians for the very first time, having never encountered this, we might wonder, I wonder where in fact he is going with this. Here is a problem that is taking place among the churches of Galatia, and this ties in with what takes place in Acts chapter 15 and the council in Jerusalem. The question was, is Christ and the work which he accomplished on Calvary's cross efficient or sufficient? Is it efficient or is it fully sufficient? There is a big difference between those two. The one says that there is a movement, there is an efficiency, there is an effectiveness, there is a forward movement. Sufficiency says that it gets us fully to the target. It gets us all the way there. It isn't simply a movement towards, but that it is in fact all good. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, which holds out Jesus as that one sacrifice that was offered on Calvary's cross, and that was complete, it was over, as Jesus himself declared, "It is finished." Finished. The work of redeeming man back to God. The work of breaking down the wall which had separated right from the Garden of Eden. The penalty, the weight, the burden of sin, that had been dealt with upon Calvary's cross. The blood of the sinless Lamb of God, the Son of God, had been shed. It had been the atonement for your sin, and mine. There were some who came after Paul would go to various communities and cities. There were those who came after the Apostle Paul, and this was their message. They would say, "Now, what Paul and his companions shared with you, that was good stuff. We would not discount that. That was good stuff." However, they left out some very key material, and this was their problem with Paul, that yes, salvation is by trusting in Jesus Christ. However, there is something that you need to add if you are really going to be saved. It's one thing to think you are saved, and it's another thing to really be saved and have every confidence. And we want to let you in on the secret of how it is that you can be saved and that you can have full assurance of that. And the message was that these teachers, these false teachers as they were, they came along and said, "Now all of the men among you need to be circumcised." They were obviously addressing Gentile believers who had come to faith in Christ. And they would say, "Now all of the men, if you would really be saved, if you would be fully confident of Christ's salvation, you need to add this to your confidence in Christ." The Apostle Paul was horrified when he heard those who advocated for this doctrine. He was absolutely horrified that this would be what was held out to these fledgling believers, these babes in Christ, and how quickly many of them fell to its falsehood and they surrendered themselves. The Apostle Paul, he stands up, he stands true, and in verse 6 of Galatians 1, he says, "I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him." Some might say, "Well, look, we weren't deserting Christ. We were just trying to add something, and it wasn't that we were wanting to demean Christ or belittle the work that he did." Paul sees through this, and he says, "Actually, dear friends, you have belittled Christ. You have demeaned and you have made the work of Christ a small thing. You have discounted it. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel." Paul, he sets these two at odds with each other. He says, on the one hand, you have the grace of Christ. You have God reaching down to you in his deep, abiding love, the love which he has for your soul. He created you, and oh, how he loves you. And you have the grace of Christ. God knew that if mankind was to enjoy salvation, it could not be by anything except the work of God. It was for that reason that God did not send an angel or an archangel or a seraphim to die upon Calvary's cross, nor did he send a prophet to be impaled upon Calvary's cross. God knew that the price for your salvation and mine was the blood of Jesus Christ. There was no other way. There was none other good enough. The grace of God, the grace of Christ on the one hand. And then the Apostle Paul says, there is a different gospel. There is the one true, and there are many other gospels. And Paul here says this is a different gospel. There is no connection the one with the other. You cannot say that there is a blending in any way. Paul says, I am amazed that you have left the grace of Christ for this other one. Don't try to tell me that it is simply a slight diversion or a slight aberration. It is diametrically opposed, the one to the other. And I'm amazed. I'm amazed. I came among you. I preached Christ in all of His glory. Those who were with me also bore witness to the glory of Christ, to the finished work which He accomplished for you and for me. How could you abandon something of such beauty? How could you abandon something whereby you receive so much? In that introduction that Paul gave, he spoke that the Lord Jesus had come to rescue us from this present evil age. The Apostle Paul is saying, have you lost the eyes in your heads? Have you lost the ears that hear it, what is all around about you? How is it that you were not on your guard against those things which would want to tear you down and pull you back from the grace of Christ? You see, the grace of Christ is repugnant to this world. Our world would want to say, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. But the grace of Christ, the grace of God, where He reaches out to us in His kindness, and based upon the work of Calvary, He forgives us. He forgives us. We receive the imputed righteousness of Christ, and our sins are imputed over to Christ. It is the greatest bargain that there ever could possibly be in this world, that such a transaction, such a swap would take place, and that He bears that sin upon Calvary for you and for me. How could you possibly leave the grace of Christ for this other gospel? And Paul, he says, it's really not another, because gospel, it means good news. And what you have given up, you have surrendered the grace of Christ, you have surrendered that and you've let it go, you have taken on this other, quote, gospel, but it's not good news. It is something which will be a burden to you. It will not be God's means of salvation. You will increasingly come to trust in yourself. You think that it was a small thing that you added circumcision to your confidence in Christ. Soon there will be the observance of days, and there will be the observance of dietary laws, and little by little there will creep more and more, and you will completely lose sight of the grace of Christ. You will completely lose sight of the gift of God. You will completely lose sight of the mercy which reached down and saved you as you continue to try to claw and clutch and climb your way up out of a greater and greater morass of mud and filth, which is your own righteousness. Remember, all of our righteousness, all of man's righteousness, is as filthy rags in God's sight. It's not really another, the Apostle Paul says. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. It is a marring. It is a disfigurement. It is the true distortion. Even as the serpent in the Garden of Eden took the words of God and said, "Will you really die? Will it really be so?" He questions the word of God, and then he comes straight out with the deception, with the lie. "You will not die. God did not tell you the truth. He is lying to you. He is holding back that which you could be enjoying." Here, these who had come after the preaching of Paul among the Galatians, and it was not simply the Galatians that this problem was so key to. It was every place. Paul was hounded by these false teachers, and they were relentless in the pursuit of those who they could draw away. And Paul, he speaks in the sternest terms. Here in Philippians chapter 3, he speaks of the dogs who contorted and twisted the gospel. But he says here, these people, they are disturbing you. They want to distort. They want to twist it to their own desires and to their own imagination. The gospel of Christ, it's so right down to today. Cults and various religions that twist and contort the gospel of Christ into something whereby you can't even see it for what it really is. Paul then says, look, even if I, Paul, or one of my companions, or even if an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel that is different from what we did preach to you, he is to be accursed. We remember in Hebrews chapter 1 that angels were held out as those who were servants. They were sent forth to serve those who would inherit salvation. They are God's servants. They have a very high and lofty position, those who did not fall in Satan's rebellion. But even if a seraphim, an archangel, or any of them, or even a great leader such as Paul or his companions, if they were to come and preach a different gospel other than the simple, beautiful gospel that they had preached to the Galatians and all around the Mediterranean, Paul, he uses the strongest terms here. He says, let that person be accursed. Let them be damned. Let them be damned. And he repeats it again. And this is for emphasis. It's like Paul. He's taking on his computer and he's bolding. He's making large the font. He's underlining. He's using italics. He's using a yellow highlighter and he's writing in the column, look at this. Pay attention. He repeats it again. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, you had received it, and you had rejoiced in it, you had welcomed it, you saw it for what it truly was, the goodness, the grace, the kindness of God reaching out to fallen sinners. If anyone comes to you with another message, Paul says for this second time, let him be accursed. In Hebrews chapter 11, at the beginning and at the end, we see that faith was a means to a greater end. Faith is what gains for us the approval of God. Here, the Apostle Paul, he speaks in exactly the same terms. He says, in question, for am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Was Paul looking for the favor, Another way that we could put that was he looking for the approval of men or of God? The Apostle Paul, when he became Paul and set aside the old man Saul, he was looking for the approval of God. He was not looking any longer for the approval of the Sanhedrin or his compatriots among the Jews. He had heard God. He had heard the Lord Jesus Christ who met him in that blaze of light, Acts chapter 9. And he was dumbfounded. He didn't know what to say. "Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." And Jesus gives him instructions as to what he is to do. It took Paul a long time to fully process through what he experienced there on that road. He was horrified that he had been fighting against God, that he had been so headstrong, going in the wrong direction. And he wanted nothing but the approval of God. And he asks these Galatians, "Am I seeking the approval, the favor of men or of God?" Paul, we would say, it meant everything to him to be right with God, having gone that other way for so long. He asks a second time, "Am I striving to please men?" He was striving to be faithful to the calling of God, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He was striving to be right with God and to fulfill the task which God had given to him. Paul would come to various communities where he would be rebuffed, as with Barnabas and Silas, his two chief helpers on his first three missionary journeys. They would be scorned. They would be beaten. They would be imprisoned. Was that trying to please men? No. It was that they were being true to what God had called them to do. "If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Paul, he knew what he was. He was God's servant now. He was not his own man, and he was going absolutely 100% in that direction. And he says, "I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man." Man did not come up with this plan. All of the religions of this world contrast with Christianity in this way. Christianity, the doctrine of Christ dying upon Calvary, it is from heaven, and all of the others are from this earth. All of them are from below. And Paul here says, the gospel which was preached from me, it is in contrast to those other gospel, that different gospel which others are preaching to you. It's an offense, what I just said. People will fight and kick against it. They will despise Christians. But that doesn't make it any less true. The Apostle Paul, he was despised, as were all of the apostles. Each of them, we understand, meeting a martyr's death, holding true to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Each of them bearing witness unto death. They were faithful to that very point. It doesn't make it any less true simply because people fight and kick and hate it. The gospel that Paul preached, it was from God himself. And he says, "I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." Have you lost sight of the gospel that came right from the hand of God? Have you swapped the purity of the gospel and the grace of God for something else? It might not seem like a great deviation to you. It might seem like, oh, such a slight course change. But when you keep on going down that course, though it might seem so small, after a while you find yourself way off the path and you need to come back. There needs to be a pointed decision to come back. I would reach out, just as the Apostle Paul here, not in meanness. The Apostle Paul did not write these words out of an angry heart or out of a desire to club over these people. His desire was that they would come back and that they would once again rejoice in the simplicity and the beauty and the grace, the kindness of God in Christ Jesus, in the plan of God that had transformed him. The Apostle Paul, once he became a believer, there was no turning back. And he wanted that same thing for others, that we would come and say, Lord Jesus, you are my all in all. All that I have is in you. It is by you, it is through you, it is in you that I have become unbelievably rich in heaven's terms. It is because of you that I have the confident hope of heaven. I know and I believe that you have gone to prepare a place, not just for those apostles who you sat with there and spoke to in John chapter 14, but you have gone to prepare a place for all who are trusting in you. And just as the angel said in Acts chapter 1, this same Jesus will so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Lord, we look for that day. Would you come back to the simplicity and the beauty of Jesus Christ, and that he has completed the task? Jesus was speaking complete, absolute truth when on Calvary he said, it is finished. Finished, my dear friend. Revel and glory in that. Lord Jesus, we rejoice in your goodness and we thank you and we praise you that it is finished and that this gospel is so beautiful. May our hearts rejoice in it, and especially in our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our soon coming King, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Hearts to Believe. We are delighted to announce our newest music CD entitled Solos. It contains 12 solos by Heidi Taves, Rick Bowering, Jonathan Kvist, and Tim Sturby, each presenting 3 songs, all of them accompanied by Sherry Bowman on the piano. You will enjoy hearing Heidi sing Haven of Rest, Rick sing Find Us Faithful, Jonathan sing Something Beautiful, and Tim sing He's the Hand on My Shoulder. This solo CD is sent out free and postage paid simply upon your request. Ask for your free copy of Solos when you write this week to Hearts to Believe, Box 426, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3C 2H6. Or call us toll-free at 1-833-367-3852. Hearts to Believe is an extension of the Faith to Live By radio and television ministry based in Winnipeg with Pastor Jim Barber. We leave you with the Apostle Peter's benediction. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.